going to be speaking about Opportunities Unlimited for people over 65. See whether you agree or disagree with that kind of a statement. We've been talking a lot about how many of us are getting older nowadays, and just about all the books I've read kind of give figures on this order. That in 1940, one of every 15 was 65 or older. And they predict that by 2030, one of every six will be 65 and older. And that's a lot of older people. So one question that's being asked is, when people are that old and retiring even earlier, what kind of services could they provide for the community that wouldn't be provided if they weren't there to do it? Sort of in other words, how can we make ourselves valuable and wanted? And, you know, I have to have the younger people say, gee, we love having these older folks around. They're good for our community, they're good for our kids, they're good for our schools. Do any of you have any ideas of what services we could offer that aren't provided now? I know you all do a lot of volunteering. What kind of services?
What services could we provide that aren't provided now?
Right.
If we're doing something now, that doesn't qualify them.
That's true.
But still being done now still needs more volunteers in each department.
You might be doing something that isn't commonly done, however.
Well, I'll start it out then. I do volunteer income tax work.
Do you do it for any certain group?
AARP.
Is there a charge for that?
No.
Is that for older people only, or do you do it for others too?
Well, it's concentrated on the elderly, but we do it for handicapped and low income also.
So that's really
generous, I would say.
Any other of you have those kind of skills that you use that way, or? Yes?
I'm a ham operator, and I volunteer, help in marathons, a lot of great furnished communications, what I like to trade, Spokane, and available for search and rescue for furnished communications.
That's really a valuable service. And probably no one has the time that you have to do it, of the younger crowd, do they, at least during the day?
There's a lot of younger that do, but there's a lot of retired that have more time, I guess.
Right. Sounds very valuable to me. Yes?
In our church, we have a neighborhood center, which for the most part is for senior citizens, but also the work is done by senior citizens and is for the whole community. The bulk of the people that come are not connected to our church. They're just people out in the community that get a free meal or picked up and taken home if they need that. And with that, we have a lady that offers free income tax service to those that want it around April income tax time. Also, there's medical checkups. They check up blood pressure checkups and some of this kind of thing.
What do you call that?
We call it a neighborhood center.
Do you have a lot of people coming?
Have a what?
A lot of people coming.
Do you have a lot of people coming?
It runs from 15 to 20 as a rule, but for some programs there are as many as 40.
That's good.
And it's funded federally because of the hot meal that's provided.
If they cut funds, would your church pick up the service, do you think, or what would happen to it?
Well, if our church weren't doing it, it wouldn't happen.
And they would keep on, do you think, if they did cut the funds, or? It's hard to say. That's really a good service that wouldn't be provided if you weren't there. And I'll bet a lot of people look at that and say, hey, this is something that...
Well, while the attendance is in those numbers, yeah, there's been at least 200 different people that are processed through there at some time.
200 during the year, or the month, or?
3 times a week.
Do any of the rest of you have your churches used for service or hospitality to the community? Do you? Can you tell us about it?
The Alcoholic Anonymous meet at our place twice a week, and then the ladies, I forget, the Al-Anons, is that what they call it? They have that.
Good.
That's good.
There's one service our church does is Cambodians or the Mexican student college often wants to give cooking classes for them in the evening. And so they let them use their kitchen, and I know a lot of other churches want it, so.
So.
The cooking classes anyway. We have other classes there too, I'm sure most churches do that, but.
Anybody else have any services being offered at their church that aren't?
Food. We have food for the hungry that, I mean, they can just come and ask, and they have 500 or so sometimes.
A food bank of sorts.
They come every day.
How many of your churches do that?
That's great.
Yeah.
Go in clothing
and food. Do any of you work in these services in your churches? What's it like to do that?
Well, our church collects the food. It is not a center for the distribution, but a neighboring church is. And many of us have worked down there to the shelves, staff, distribute food, also with the clothing. We collect it, and neighbor church has facilities that are just for clothes, and it's open 2 days a week, and we volunteer as staff from the various churches
who work there. Is that a satisfying kind of work to do?
Mm-hmm.
For you? It
certainly is.
Do you get to talk to the people when they come in then?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. So it's a good contact.
Yes. Our church has containers where you can either contribute food or clothing. And they pick it up from the notice in the Goodwill, but it's another organization, something like that. And they come once a week and pick up.
That's good. Yes?
Not our church, but another in Spokane that for a good number of years been running what is called the Barton School. It started for people who come from other countries that haven't learned English, and they have people who can speak the languages that work with them to teach them English, and also how to kind of get along in our country, the shopping and customs and things like that. And that's been done by retired people.
Do you have mostly school teachers that are retired working in that area?
Many of them.
Yes?
Well, I'm not 65 yet, folks. I belong to a club, Kiwanis Club, and I don't speak to many of them in our county. We have 8, and a lot of them have men over 65.
Uh-huh.
And through these affiliations, these men keep in touch with their community, what's going on, and they're asked to be volunteer heads of committee, they serve on panels, they serve on boards, they serve as a whole sounding board for the community, so they're not cut off from what's going on. Well, I can tell you frankly that many men are missing a bit, by not subscribing, at least putting the word out that they would like to belong to a service organization, that would be quite. But we do find that many men retreat, they do not want to contribute anymore. They want to content themselves with fishing, which is fine. But in all, but I observe it as being almost a selfish turn, inward turning of not wanting to have anything to do with the community and actually being suspicious of anything, such as businessmen or anything else. They won't have anything more to do with them. If a man has been all at any level of management or any level of business, I can't understand how he'd want to just cut himself away from the very area that gave him his living. It's a time that he can turn around and say, look, I'll give something back. And we see this done in Quorum's clubs and Rotary, and the Lions Club. These men are big men. They've been big men in the industry. Mm-hmm. Some of them have been at moderate levels in their industry, but they do great things in the community. Our club helps fund a camp for the handicapped. We have one in Clark County, Washington. Another Kiwanis group has one in, they call it the Mount Hood group, or in Florida, around the Mount Hood. But the handicapped come there at no charge. We also make it available to any other group that wants to use this camp, which was an honor camp in the state of Washington, the prison. It's under Skamania County that we run it. Uh-huh. We are able to perform a lot of these things because we have a blanket insurance policy. Uh-huh. In case functions can never be taken care of because of the potential liability. But we're able to provide this umbrella protection, plus volunteer labor. Those men go out and paint, they repair, plumbing, steam fitting, all these talents that they've generated in their lifetime they can present back to their community after they've retired.
So I guess I hear you're saying you could use a lot more retired people in the service clubs.
Oh yeah, project. That's right, exactly right. What I'm saying.
And those are services that wouldn't be available through the government or any other group. Yes?
I'd like to ask the question of the gentleman that just spoke about Kiwanis. I think I know one of the objections to joining. They put such a stress on regular attendance. Mm-hmm. And if you're not there every week or every whatever, I don't know what happened, but I've heard other people say that they don't like it because of that.
Could you answer?
Well, if I may defend that to a point, if you're going to join a club, we would assume you would like to attend. Our club happens to meet every week. You don't have to make every meeting. We reward those with recognition who do make perfect attendance, and that's the end of that. The Lions Club meets every other week. I don't know about the Rotary. Mm-hmm. All I'm saying is that you can hear negatives about anything, and I'm sure that one should be laid to rest. There's not one club I know of that would ever want to drum a man out because he didn't come regularly. But after a period of months, we would wonder if he really wanted to continue an affiliation. Mm-hmm. If he was not getting that much out of it, that he would want to come.
Yes?
When the men in my church retire, they say, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I guess I'll fish more. Mm-hmm. I said, all you have to do is to get 4 or 5 widows on the spring. There's always the roof to be checked and the leaves cleaned out. Lawn to be scraped and fertilized, and there's always the
do they
for
do
the carpenter
that?
To do or for a plumber to do.
Right.
And we can't stay in our homes if we can't have those things done for us.
Right. How does that work out? Do you get anyone to do that?
Sure, I have a spring on.
About a service one of our church members does, not through the church, but because she's that kind of a person. Besides working in the Barton School that Ray was telling about, she writes in Braille, and she's done it for years. She's one of these people that is busy and so many different things, different ways doing things for other people. It's just really tremendous. She's an inspiration to everybody.
How did she, what kind of things does she write?
Well, those who learn to write in Braille are probably asked to write, I wouldn't be able to say. It would be a variety of things, I'm
people
sure.
People hear of her and request that.
I had a book written in Braille, not by her, but by someone else. But
menus for restaurants, I know, come around.
Do you?
Some of the menus, some of the restaurants now have do have menus in Braille.
Some of our people drive for Meals on Wheels, which is a very welcome service to people, and especially if they have time to talk 5 minutes when they take the meal.
That's so important, isn't it? Because they need the contact more than anything. Yes?
Volunteers provide many services in hospitals that ordinarily would not be given to the patients if there wasn't volunteer help.
Nursing homes, you might as well put that up there, too.
Do they use volunteer nurses ever or nurses' aides in any that you know of? I don't know.
Yep. In the hospitals.
Do they?
We have any number at our hospitals all over Spokane that are volunteers. They're mostly all retired. They have the candy stripers down at the other end, but they have these ladies that man the information desk, wheel the carts around, take the juice cart around, take the book cart around, and the candy cart around, and all those things.
Do they actually do?
Those are not necessarily nurses or professionals.
No, they're not.
Oh, Rosemary.
Yes.
Up here.
Okay.
I worked in a hospital at one time where there was a volunteer nurse. I mean, she was actually doing nursing care, but it was rather difficult because she would call in every once in a while and say she couldn't come. I mean, it wasn't, you know, she was a volunteer, so so then they depended on her, you know, with patient care and so forth, and then she might not come. So it was a difficult thing for them to depend on volunteer for, and you couldn't, you didn't have any backup, you know, another one volunteer to come in. So, like you would if you were doing other kinds of service.
So maybe the hospital setting wasn't as good. Did you have?
That's a very difficult situation, and one that if you're going to volunteer, you have to be dependable because the people that are expecting you have work laid out for you, and then if you don't show up, like you're really jammed up with. It's very difficult, but or if you call somebody else to go and take your place, that helps, because then that relieves the hospital, whatever, of finding someone to take your place.
I wonder how it would work to be a substitute, you know, and they could call you if someone was sick as a volunteer nurse, or did they ever try that, Coretta? Did you ever have a substitute volunteer nurse? Did they ever try it that way? Or maybe those are some things that as professionals people could explore, because sometimes you're not as useful as a professional as you know, doing something that isn't, that you really haven't been trained for. Yes?
Well, in our town we have a caring program, and it's run by the village nurse. And we call up older people and check them out to see that they're okay. And I go out and I pay the lady and help her with things. And we have dinners for them for Thanksgiving, the older people that don't have any relationship or anything like that. And it's really turned out.
That's a good service. Is that through the church?
No. No, it's from our village. Uh-huh. Village close to Chicago.
How many people participate?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
That's yes.
I babysit for the ALCW Young Women's Circle.
That's great.
So they can get together.
I bet they appreciate that.
It's your number, Floyd.
Okay. What if you have skills like a mechanic or, yes?
We have also retired people that do driving for people that have cancer, for the American Cancer Society, take them to the chemotherapy, wait for them at the doctor, drive them back and forth.
I know that's really appreciated by people because sometimes the wife is sick and can't drive them and there wouldn't be any other way, yes?
I'm going to be tutoring this fall in an elementary school. And that's something you don't have to be a professional teacher to help tutor.
And I tutor with English as a second language to Mexicans and Cambodians. And it's the same thing. I did take a course in it, but you don't have to be a teacher. But you are supposed to have this, but the training is free.
Well, you enjoy working with the...
They are excellent students. They're so eager that after I am a retired teacher and after working with junior highs for 20 years, why, I can hardly believe it, how eager they are.
Do they become your friends, pretty much?
Oh, well, yes. There's lots of things you can kind of help them out with.
My husband's sister has done that, too. And
very rewarding, very rewarding.
They treat her like one of the family oftentimes and have her come to the parties.
Somebody that's a teacher, I mean, you know, we didn't get such recognition.
No.
They tell us all the things that are bad about us, not the good ones.
You all are amazing. Anything else?
Holden Village volunteers. And skilled and unskilled.
Is there anything you do that you feel is more exciting than the work you did and makes you feel better? Was your work more satisfying, or are some of the things you're doing now more satisfying to you?
Well, I know as far as I'm concerned, I mean, I had to have my salary and so forth when I was school teaching. I was taking care of the family and so forth. I mean, that was our bread and butter. And there's a certain amount of satisfaction in just being able to do that, you know, that's daily and yearly.
Right. Do you think it's a problem finding volunteer work that really uses your skills? I mean, you found something now that uses your skills. But
I put away books in the library by the Dewey Decimal System because I know it.
Well, you're using yours then. That's good. How about ministers that are retired? Do you feel your skills are being used? Yeah?
He's putting in a lot of hard work right now because he can't get a minister.
Oh.
We have a program. We have a new Presbyterian, but that's neither here nor there. Other denominations have it too, I'm sure. We call ours Volunteers in Mission. And these are people who are retired but still healthy and have certain skills. And maybe they go off to some country for 2-3 years or they travel around USA helping churches with different kinds of projects, and some of them just move from project to project, and I've read of other denominations that do that too. One in the Baptist is building churches. They send skilled crews around. They come in their motor homes, stay 2-3 months, build a church, move on somewhere else. They're all retired people, but they're making use of the skills that they've had.
Most
and
of them,
certainly,
I
am a pastor, and I'm in my 10th year of being retired, but so I am using my skills.
Yes?
I'm from Seattle, and Seattle has lots of parks, and they don't have enough people to maintain them, so they keep advertising, adopt the park, and, you know, in your own area, so if you have any spare time, you can go and help, and they'll furnish the equipment and everything.
That's
Well, the state parks too use people as hosts at some of these places. That they stay there, they control vandalism a bit by being there.
You know, as you just spat off all these things, you can see the ramifications in the years ahead as the numbers of us increase. The things that could be done are just limitless, aren't they? I mean, our country could be a much more wonderful place to live. Yes?
Back in St. Paul, in Minneapolis, and I think it's national, but there's an organization called RSVP. And I belong to that, but they monthly, I think it is, list all kinds of volunteer opportunities so that you can have your choice of what you want to do. Just a question of going and doing it.
Do you?
Incidentally, I also tutor Southeast Asians, but I'm surprised to hear these other people saying Cambodians, because back in St. Paul, we've got about the second largest Hmong settlement in the country. And we have Hmong and Vietnamese and Cambodians and Laotians. And it's very satisfying. I also tutor people who haven't gotten their high school diploma, so they're working for GEDs.
How did you first decide you wanted to do volunteer work? Because evidently there are lots of people that don't think of it, you know, as an option for their life. What made you think of it?
You can hardly avoid it.
You can always refuse, though, you know. You can say, no, I'm retired, I just want to have fun.
When I retired, I decided I did not want to do volunteer work on a... I did not want to be tied down to a certain schedule. Uh-huh. I just wasn't able physically. And I was going to be dependable if I volunteered.
Mm-hmm.
But I have found, I've been retired for 13 or 14 years, but I find that I keep very, very busy just freelancing.
Oh.
doing, anybody call and say, well, you help get out this or you help get out that, and I go. But I'm not scheduled for anything special.
But it's picking up as you see needs.
Some of these people that can't meet their obligation call me, and then I go instead of them.
That's a really good
idea. I'm not scheduled, you know, I'm not on a weekly schedule.
No. Well, that's a very good idea. Because a lot of times if you have to be at work every single day of your life, you don't want to do that when you retire. Especially if, like, we have people here that spend part of the year in Arizona and part in some other part of the country. Although you do your ham radio work wherever you are, probably. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think you're a marvelous group for thinking of so many things, not only thinking of them, but you're actually doing them right now. You know, one thing that we should be aware of too, that is that the elderly today are much better educated and sophisticated than our grandparents were. And we do have more skills that we can give. And we do live longer. So I think it's an exciting thing, really. There have been a lot of articles about business and the business community and how they're viewing all this, because naturally they're interested in the growing numbers of the elderly. And it's going to be more exciting for us because they're going to be offering more college courses for us to take, more travel opportunities. You already see them offered throughout the cities, at least. More sporting events. They're going to be... they do give special prices to attract more seniors to fill up their stadiums, you know, and off times. And attendance at museums is often lots of seniors in times of the day when no one else can go. Art galleries, plays, symphonies. And I bet you're going to notice through the years that the business community is going to think of more and more to attract your money, because you have money to spend. You know, you have money to go out and eat, where families with young children can't do it as well. I think it's going to be fun to see what happens, really.
Rosemary, there's something that we haven't touched in any of these sessions, and that is the fact that they're getting to be more and more two generations in the nursing homes, which poses a problem. I mean, if you're not able to take care of your parents or something like that, it's this volunteer work is fine, but you know,
right.
That would enter into it also. But,
and if you are an older child taking care of an even older parent, you're not going to have a lot of time to volunteer either. That's going to take up all your time. Do any of you have that situation of being in the age group you are now and having an older parent that you're caring for? I guess not. You do?
Well, yes. She's 87.
Uh-huh.
She's not living with us, however, but we certainly oversee her day-to-day living in a nursing home. I foresee, you know, I can imagine a situation where the child would become disabled and not able to offer anything as far as support for the parent.
Right, that does happen too, and in some cases, you know, it is a real challenge to people to have an older parent living in their home. Especially if people have been widowed and they remarry again, and then they have one of the parents living with them, and this newlywed couple want to enjoy their life together, and you know, they have the older parent, and the older parent feels bad because they're in the way and keeping them from having fun. And it's, you know, something that you really have to grapple with and decide, do we want to give this time? Can we do it, or will we opt for a nursing home for mother or dad?
Yeah. I've read and also heard about retired people that have volunteered for the Peace Corps, which we have.
Have any of you volunteered for the Peace Corps?
I thought
it would be fun. That would be fun to do, wouldn't it? Or volunteer up here in Holden, which is almost like the Peace Corps, isn't it? Yes?
Back to this other subject you're on. I babysit with elder people and let the couples go on vacation and so forth.
That's great. That would be one solution too, wouldn't it? For more of us to become involved with helping the ones that are taking care of the parent at home.
Some of the nursing homes are having daycare now for elderly people. That is a big contribution.
That is. And that should help relieve so that they can go out and work if they have to. But sometimes people have to quit their job to stay at home and take care of the person. Yes?
Well, the whole nursing home thing is a very depressing thing, and to
offer right.
people to volunteer to go in and be of service is a real dedication. I mean, these people are special people that have the emotional equipment to go into those things on a sustaining basis.
That's right.
Even the children, the family, had a very difficult time.
That's right.
My situation, my mother's a diabetic, and she's bright, alert, coordinated. But she has diabetes, 2 shots a day, 6 meals a day. Doesn't eat her meal, she had an insulin reaction. So she couldn't live in a retirement mill, but she was doing very well in her income. Was off, yeah, actually had a positive cash flow living in the other place. But she needed this extra treatment, so now she's $2,000 a month. And I go there often. And some of those are very distressing situations. And,
yes.
You know, to be blessed.
Yes.
To be able to participate, as they say, on a sustaining basis. I don't know what the solution of it is. I really don't. to try to bring one into your home, I think is also offering a challenge to a family, unless they're trying to conserve the estate. If they're trying to conserve the estate, I can understand it. Otherwise, it threatens to destroy the family that's undertaking this project.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've seen it from both directions. I quit my job to take care of my mother, who was 90. We had her in our home for several years before she had to go into a nursing home. She died at 98. The rewards to us when we took her into our home was much more than anything we could give her. The grandchildren loved to hear her talk about the days when she was growing up. People that haven't had that experience have missed something. Nursing home care sometimes has to be because some of us become physically unable to keep our parents in our home. But I don't regret any of the 4.5 years I had my mother. My children and my grandchildren and my husband and I all benefited from her presence. She was nearly blind, but she had such a happy, optimistic outlook on life. And one of our sons, who was interested in genealogy, decided that he should get Grandma to talk about her days of growing up. And she was not a person who did a lot of talking, but we ended up with a little prompting. We ended up with a long tape of her reminiscences, everything from her courting days to her childhood days when she received her first doll at Christmas, her only doll, and all of that sort of thing. The rewards are tremendous, and I think it's an individual thing. The person who would take a parent into their home would have to have the physical ability to do that, and their condition would have to be such that they wouldn't require a lot of lifting and so forth,
right.
Because I've also known people that have about killed themselves,
yes,
trying to care for a husband or something.
I think you're right.
Two sides of that. But in our case, the rewards were overwhelmingly in favor of having that parent in our home.
You know, someone was mentioning the cost of nursing homes, and it really is high. And in another session, we were talking about, you know, how people should pay their own way more. But an article I was reading said that programs that provide retirement and health care for the elderly currently amount to 38% of the federal budget. But if this were not done, workers would need to support their parents directly, or persons at work would have to save 20% annually starting at age 25.
Right.
So it's just
that last one again, which that's
persons at work would have to save 20% annually of their income starting at age 25 to make sure that they had enough money if they would end up and have to have this kind of service that his mother's having, you know, at $2,000 a month, which she's probably paying herself right now because we don't have any health insurance for nursing homes.
And statistics show that the Americans are saving less than any other country in the world, and we're at the rate of about 4% now.
Yeah. Can you imagine how our kids would feel toward us if they were going to have to support us if we hadn't saved enough money on our own? I think it would make family relationships kind of difficult.
But you have to agree, a family that would have $2,000 a month income from invested capital is an exceptional thing. So you run out, you use principal and interest,
right.
And pretty soon then you're going to the state.
Right.
And you have to get over this guilt feeling that can happen about taking your care of your family.
Yeah.
Your parents.
I think that happens, that estates are used up completely if a person's in for any length of time at all.
That just happened to my brother and his wife, who are both in nursing home in Western Montana. And they have finally used up all of their home, selling their home. And all their money is gone. And felt quite badly to be put on Medicaid.
Right. That's very devastating.
Finally, they decided that, well, they had paid taxes and things into this enough that for other people that it helped their conscience.
That's good.
Well, what's going to happen to these younger generation if they're not saving now? What will happen when they get older?
Well, so far we have Medicare and Medicaid, you know, and that
yes,
will...
Yes, but the government's trying to cut.
That's a good question.
I'm wondering what this younger generation will do when they get older.
There's a new baby boom right now. Don't know how long it'll last, but that will at least put more workers into it eventually.
Right. You know, another interesting statistic that I read and was surprised at was that only 47% of the male population aged 55 or over is in the labor force today. And I was wondering about how old you folks were when you retired. Were there any who retired at age 50?
I had to wait until I was 65. Now they're retiring with 30 years of service. And I put in 50.
Wow.
Before they said I could retire.
That's an awful long time.
So now they say you can retire at 30 years of service, most things.
Yeah.
And the military can retire at 25. And I put in 50 years of service on a railroad.
Oh, that's
before awful. They said I could quit. If I quit any sooner, I would have been penalized so bad I couldn't quit.
You wouldn't have had enough to retire on.
I quit 6 months early, and it cost me $10 a month quitting 6 months early.
My goodness.
One thing that I'm wondering about, they seem to encourage older people to hang on. They're allowed to keep on working way past the time you would normally consider they would be retiring. But isn't that taking jobs away that our young people are needing? We have a lot of young people who can't get jobs.
Right.
And if the older people hang on to their jobs and won't let go when they come to a reasonable retirement age, what are these kids going to do? How are our grandchildren going to find jobs if the old folks hang on to their jobs because they like that extra money and don't want to retire?
You know,
or feel that they don't know what to do with their time if they retire.
There's one thing happening, though, that might change that, and that is that there are so many couples now where both people are working and their income is higher, and they will be able to save more, and they will be able to retire earlier than we have, hopefully.
No, they're buying an $80,000 house instead of $2,000. That's the difference.
They don't necessarily both want to work to support a family. The mother, lots of times, would rather stay home and be a full-time mother.
That's true, and they do both need to work if they're buying a house now, because the houses are so expensive.
$2,000 when we started out, or $1,000 when we started out in life, and didn't take us a lifetime to pay for it.
Yep.
Now they could buy a house, a younger person, and they don't even pay for it in a lifetime. So it takes two of these to do this.
They have two cars and all the furniture.
And two boats.
We only had 25 cars and it's got two.
So they've got too big of wants.
Right.
How can they save a dime? They can't save a dime for their future.
You know, I think one reason people are working longer too is that Social Security will pay you a little bit more if you work another year. You'll get 3% more if you work another year, and another 3% more if you work another year right now. Yes?
Maybe there's this much to say about it too. For those who are working, they are paying into it and they are not taking anything out of it.
Right.
That's right.
And they aren't.
They're helping the ones who are, because what happens, my husband is still working, but they're helping the ones who are retired.
That's right. Because they'll probably die sooner too. You know, sometimes you get the feeling.
Maybe that's good, it sounds like it.
You get the feeling that people are wanting you to die. We want to change our image.
Young couple on our corner, that they've got a nice home that they can have paid for. But they're looking for a $100,000 home, probably, and they'll never pay for it in a lifetime. The two people working. So how can they save a dime?
I know. We have kids like that too, you know, that are spending every penny and charging everything they have to buy. And I guess a lot of times couples will do that, you know, until about the last 3 years that they work, and then their kids are finally grown up and through college, and then finally they can save something for their own retirement. I think that happens quite a bit.
But they don't have the habit of saving by that time. They're just used to charging everything instead of saving every month, no matter whether it's just $10.
How about you younger people? Are there any here that can defend themselves against? Do you save money? Do you spend it all? Or do you have any to save? Or anybody willing to share?
I spent time in the insurance industry, and I can tell you that the art of saving is admirable. And I give credit to these people who have, over the years, set aside on their own.
Mm-hmm.
But I found out the necessity for most people is to be forced into saving, whether it's through a war bond arrangement or through your own company.
Mm-hmm.
There's a move in the United States the administration to do away with advantages given for saving before taxes, not just the IRAs, which are wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But a major company, a $13 billion company, and they've had this in the history of it from the beginning, mm-hmm. that you can save before tax dollars. And this allows at least our employees and our company to set aside where they couldn't do it before.
Profit sharing.
Well, I guess we want.
Yes, indeed, profit sharing. Sears Roebuck.
I guess I kind of trust that our young people will save enough. You know, they will think about it and do it eventually. I guess that's the way I feel. The highest incidence of poverty in our country among the elderly is though among those 80 and older. I suppose by then they could have had illnesses that wiped out a lot of their savings, or else they weren't able to save, or else their rent kept going up and their pensions didn't go up, or whatever it is that happens. But yes.
Well, here, those that were 80 and over, during their working years, their income wasn't as much.
No.
So they really couldn't save the burden.
Do you think people are going to work longer or retire earlier in the years to come?
It depends upon how much they get in debt. I'll answer that. We didn't get in debt. We had our home paid for 5 years before I retired.
Uh-huh. So, you think
we didn't get in debt. If I had, we went in debt and wasn't satisfied with our home 15 years before I retired and went out and bought another home, we've been able to retire.
No.
Because the payments wouldn't have been there to do it. So that's my answer. You've got to look forward to, in retiring, if you want to work the rest of your life, you just better keep on buying. So you can't kill the goose that lays the golden egg.
Right. They say that laborers actually retire earlier than professional people because, you know, they're not strong enough to keep working. Like if you're a longshoreman and you have back trouble, you're not able to do that work any longer. Yes?
Well, that ability to work is one part of the question.
Right.
But another part of the question is whether they enjoy their work. Right. And so many people who work at routine jobs, they start thinking when they're 45 years old, I want that piece of paper and that watch and that check, I want to get out of here. I'll take it early, I'll take it at 55 or 60. 65 is the latest.
Right.
Now, today, there are a larger percentage of our people who are self-employed in the professions relative to in routine manufacturing jobs, for example, and there were years ago. This is well known. Speaking for myself, I could have retired a number of years ago, formally retired, but I'm doing something that I like to do, and basically I'm self-employed, so I'm still working.
Uh-huh.
And I'm enjoying it. I never had that feeling. I want 65 to come before. I'm just tired of this battle.
Uh-huh.
I want to get out of it. Now this again, all these things have been said have a bearing on the question, but there's
right.
no simple answer. And I'm confident, I'm optimistic, I should say, that as time passes, there are going to be more people who work beyond 65, not necessarily the job they worked at to 65,
mm-hmm.
because they have some qualifications or some interests that tell them, I'm enjoying what I'm doing, I'm going to be able to earn some money and contribute to society, and I'm going to keep working until they carry me out in the box.
Yeah.
And I don't know how significant this is, except that I happen to be in the insurance business also.
Uh-huh.
And I see men in my field who reach 65 and they don't quit. They slow down because they're their own bosses. They set their hours and the business is there to be had, and it's based on long, ongoing relationships with people.
Mm-hmm.
So that...
So you can kind of work part-time or slow down
here. Yes, I have to be able to work the hours that I want to work
yeah.
and productively. And, so.
And that's one idea that they're trying in some of the Scandinavian countries is to gradually retire, not just say you're working 8 hours today and you quit the next day, but to work fewer and fewer hours and phase yourself out so that you can get used to having leisure time or doing something else. Well, thank you very, very much. I don't want to keep you past chapel time. You helped me understand a lot about what we could do.